future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Let's kick things off and let's talk about what's going down today. So number one, Binance Exchange's charity falling short of transparency goals. We'll be jumping into what that means, not only for the charity itself, but also what that means for Binance, for the fact they put out there that they were going to have a transparent charity and they're kind of going back on their word, what that's going to mean for the operation as a whole. Number two, calls intensify for India or Indian government to regulate cryptocurrency, what's currently happening in India and the regulation. And number three, Abra restricts Americans from holding EOS and four other altcoins, what this means for the US market and what this means for the altcoins that are listed there as well. So listen, with that in mind, let's jump into today's show and let's get down to business. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about Binance. So Binance's new Pink Care token is putting high-tech twist on the term period equity. Earlier this month, the philanthropic arm of the Malta-based exchange, Binance Charity Foundation, BCF, launched a program to give African girls sanitary products to help them stay in school. Helen Hay, head of BCF, told media sources that cryptocurrency donations are bundled into unique tokens, redeemable for menstrual products, then given to the parents and teachers of Ugandan students. So far, the Pink Care Token website says donations to the campaign have reached roughly 20 Bitcoin, nearly $199,000. Donors include Primitive Ventures co-founder Dovi Wan and Arrington XRP Capital founder Michael Arrington. BCF's goal is to use blockchain technology to offer a transparent connection between donors and recipients. But discrepancies in the nonprofit's online records raise questions about the way such campaigns are actually managed. Binance co-founder Shangpeng Zhao reportedly donated $10 million worth of cryptocurrency to launch the nonprofit foundation back in 2018, followed by a $3 million donation from Justin Sun, founder of Tron. In addition, Binance disclosed in October 2018 that token listing fees would now be donated to the charity, although several $100,000 donations have since been attributed to projects listed on the exchange. Only around 507 Bitcoin, under $6 million depending on volatility, was actually deposited in the charity wallets. When asked where the rest of the money is, the BCF spokesperson told media sources, the Binance part, $10 million, is a commitment. Other donations are set aside. But since we don't have that many projects yet, they will need to come when needed. For example, a spokesman identified Sun's donation as part of the Pink Care Token campaign. When asked where the donation was in the public wallet listings, a spokeswoman told media sources to refresh the page in a few minutes. The donation was promptly added. As such, the foundation may have a long way to go with regards to fulfilling the mission Zhao originally stated of 100% transparency, fund management. A BCF spokesperson told media sources the announcement donation are committed to projects as they raise. On the other hand, Hay herself has a checkered past in Africa. She previously worked for Chinese shoe manufacturer Haozhan Group, which later came under fire for alleged human rights abuses. Hay told media sources she left the company in 2013 and doesn't hold any shares or value related to the particular enterprise itself. According to her LinkedIn profile, she's still involved with external business ventures across Africa. As for BCF, The Block reported the foundation uses 10% of funds for operational costs and has deployed over $1 million in capital so far. A BCF spokesperson said these operational costs related to partner nonprofits, as all BCF operational costs are covered by Binance proper. Hay said the BCF plans to donate to 160 Ugandan schools with 100,000 students, half of which would be involved in the Pink Care Token program. Media sources were not able to recognize and reach any of the local schools, but we'll update shortly. There's definitely room for improvement on our donation process, the BCF spokesperson wrote via email. I would definitely say that I think there's huge room for improvement there. I mean, running a charity itself is obviously a great cause and something that donating money to is phenomenal. But then you have to work out where is the cause itself, and something that revolves around our industry being at the forefront of disruptive technology. One is utterly transparent. It's pretty tough that these guys have not been able to actually execute that in any way, shape, or form. And there are discrepancies, like where is the money? Who's getting it? I mean, everything should be on chain. And it's a shame that Binance, they're trying to do a good thing, but it seems like something else is going on as well, which is really a shame, because at the end of the day, they're looking to do something good. Well, that's what we think they're looking to do. Time always tells with these things. So let's talk India. Let's talk regulation. Ever since India's Ministry of Finance released the long-awaited crypto report, including the draft bill to ban cryptocurrencies, the Indian crypto community has ramped up its efforts to influence the government's final decision. Different parts of the crypto community have been trying to make the government officials aware of the benefits of crypto from the last 24 hours or more. Niskal Shetty, CEO of local crypto exchange WazIX, told media sources. However, he said the flawed crypto report suggests that the inputs from the community were never taken into account while preparing the report, emphasizing that now the entire crypto community of India is coming together and going in harder than before. The CEO detailed, "We're going to reach out to our elected members of parliament in India, as they will be the final authorities to decide whether this report should be adopted. We want to ensure our ministers hear us and understand that the report is flawed in multiple ways, including the simple fact that it does not even classify crypto into assets, utilities, or securities," he continued. "There are many areas in the report that suggest that the committee either did not understand the fundamental concept of cryptocurrencies or did not do enough research before producing the report and the draft bill." So someone else went on to say, "The flawed crypto report punishes people of India and startups for participating in public blockchains, while it encourages corporates to create private blockchains. The committee claims to have studied how some countries, Russia, China, Switzerland, Thailand, Japan, US, and Canada, treat crypto assets with regards to banning. The report says cryptocurrency is completely banned in China. However, Shetty reiterated that holding crypto is not banned there, and a Chinese court recently recognized Bitcoin as virtual property. In addition, Bank of China, one of the country's biggest state-owned commercial banks, published an infographic on July 26th about Bitcoin, how it works, and why the price is going up. The cryptosphere views this move as bullish." So, in addition, a lot of people out there, or a number of the initiatives brewing within the Indian community to help the government understand crypto, are as follows. The crypto community hopes to convince the government to introduce positive regulation instead of adopting the bill to ban cryptocurrencies. He explained that community is planning a campaign for Indians to write physical letters to the Prime Minister and Finance Minister, adding, "We're trying to get in-person meetings of our elected representatives in Parliament." He is also appealing to local and international media to help give voice to this issue. "India is the largest democracy in the world, and banning crypto would undermine all innovations that crypto has done for the world," the CEO opinioned. "We're also open to suggestions and feedback from people of India, as well as internationally, on how to ensure India positively regulates cryptocurrency." I mean, it's tough. It's really tough because on the one hand, you have these guys running a campaign and I guess they just, like, they have no other option than to campaign against it because India has not done the work. They're looking to just outright ban it because it's a headache and it could potentially overthrow their own currency, the rupee. And I guess they haven't done the research and they're extremely cautious, but are not educated enough on the space to understand that it could be a huge benefit to them to have this powerful technology within their economy. And you have the passionate community over there who are looking to help educate them. But the thing is, I guess, in the political world, is that people don't want to seem like they don't know, and they are always voicing an opinion. And I don't know what the Indian culture is because I've never spent much time over there, but maybe there's a situation where people are looking to challenge and say, you actually don't know what you're talking about. And they've come back even stronger saying, you know what, we're going to ban this. We're not going to entertain this conversation. So it's a really challenging situation over there. I know Tim Draper tweeted out that the Indian government is, I think he said it, they were, what did he say? He said the following: India is getting ready for 40 years of reverse gear by banning cryptocurrency. And I think he's very right. Why wouldn't they want to adopt an innovative technology? So number three, Abra restricts Americans from holding EOS and four other altcoins. California-based crypto wallet service Abra will restrict some services for American users starting from August. Abra will have to enforce some system modifications due to continued regulatory uncertainty in the United States, according to a blog post. Notably, the American users will no longer be able to hold a number of cryptocurrencies, including EOS. Specifically, the platform will start mitigating its smart contract-based synthetic assets to a native-hosted wallet solution, adding that those as assets are defined on Abra as anything than Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin, or Bitcoin Cash. This mitigation will have a direct impact on some services for US users, including restrictions from holding five cryptocurrencies. Namely, Americans will not be eligible to hold EOS, Qtum, Bitcoin Gold, Amigo, and Status after August 29th, said Abra. The company added that any remaining balances in those assets after that date will be automatically converted to Bitcoin in the app. As such, after August 29th, New York residents will be able to hold Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin, and Bitcoin Cash on Abra, the company stated. Additionally, Abra users from New York will no longer be able to use ACH transfers, as well as Wire or American Express for deposits and withdrawals. At the same time, the mitigation process is expected to be seamless for the majority of US users and will allow users to continue managing operations with no interruptions. However, the process may cause some operations to be unavailable for a few minutes. Recently, major crypto payment firm Circle announced the launch of a new subsidiary in Bermuda to serve non-American customers of its trading platform Poloniex. In the announcement, Circle revealed its plans to introduce new crypto services as part of the expansion to Bermuda. However, many of those new services will not be available in the US, the company said. Interesting time, because it's interesting how a lot of these big wallet providers are positioning themselves with the regulator. I guess a lot of them want to seem like they're regulator friendly. So if and when the regulator does come knocking on their door to see if they are offering services to US investors, that they are prepared for those conversations. But I think also they're trying to get kind of some brownie points as well from others in the community. I guess when you're a wallet provider, you need to have such an edge or such high demand that you're competitive. Because I've met so many different wallet providers, and it's great. You're gonna have a wallet that's gonna hold cryptocurrency. But what's gonna make anyone go with you? And unless you have that first mover advantage where you have lots of users and a brand name and people are just familiar with your wallet, or you provide such a service to your clients that they have to be part of your wallet. You know, it's either one or the other. And I think with these guys, Abra, they're trying to position themselves as, you know, the regulatory friendly wallet. So let's see what happens with those guys. So listen, with that in mind, that's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time and attention. As always, if you haven't already, hit us up on Twitter at @svk_crypto. Feel free to email myself, cstory@svkcrypto.com. If you have any projects you want us to review, join our Telegram, SVK Crowd. If you type that in, you will find us, because that's where it goes down. That's where you'll find myself and the rest of the team. Other than that, that's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time and attention, as always.